Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And this is business tonight, as always on our show. The other day, I was thinking about lots of different things, and I listened to this weekend show. I enjoyed it. Interesting, are you? During it, I made a statement. I talked about collecting people. I like that conversation, collecting people. And I've decided to name this show tonight, Collecting People. And that's what I want to talk about. Speaking of which, one of my prize collections of people includes Jesse Weber, my son. Jesse, what do you think of this one?
I'm glad I belong to you in your collection. Now, I've heard of people collecting stamps. I've heard of people collecting all different kinds of things. I even met somebody who collected archaeological rocks. But collecting people is a unique concept.
All right, great. But I'm going to start the show a little differently. I want to talk to you about one of the people that I don't collect. Actually, I can't stand this guy. But I'm going to tell you a story about where I got the term collecting people. There is a fellow. I think you know who he is.
Who's that?
Hold on one second.
Ugh, I hate him. I know that's not, hate's a strong word, but I really do not like that guy at all. I really, really dislike him.
Well, I give him credit for the concept of collecting people. I must admit, I have no use for this guy. Now, while he may have put that phrase in my head many, many years ago, he's not a collectible in my catalog.
He's forgettable.
Having said that, I want to talk about the concept. There are so many interesting people in the world. And so many people that you, as you go along, should learn from. This is a recurring theme on Always in Fashion. Business, people, always learning and growing with these people. And when I talk about collecting people and all the information you get, it's really about people that you admire, people that you appreciate, people that you respect, people that you have gratitude for, and people that you've learned lessons that you want to talk about as time goes on. Starting with someone that you and I both don't like, I think is an interesting place to start the show.
Yeah, well, if he was part of my people trading cards, I would trade him very quickly.
Well, actually, I wasn't going to start the show this way, and here I am right away. I can't help myself because I thought about it. But let me tell you a story. I believe that you could do 1,000 things wonderful for someone, and the first time you don't, you lose those people forever. It's just the way they are. It's human nature. Do one thing they don't like, and boom. Now, I must admit, the way I started out with this guy was strange. I thought I made up for it, but either way, let's talk about collecting people and the lessons you learn, because there's one even here from this head. Yeah, you're going to have to bleep me. I can't describe him any other way. He's a head, Having said that, he's also a businessman. Here's how I met him. I had a business relationship with a fellow who's a friend of mine. I met him under different circumstances. He was a great guy. He's one of my truly only handful of friends. Right now, he's 82 years old, and I love this guy. I met him, he came over to me when I first joined a country club to play golf. He was the only one who came up to me, said hello to me. I said, hi, how are you? I said, you don't know me, but I'm Mark Weber. He says, no, I do know you. I'm also in your industry, and of course I know you. And if you have a chance, I'd love to play golf with you. And we did. We ended up playing golf. Anyway, we started to talk the day we played golf, and it turned out he had a number of interesting companies and people. He collected people. And he said to me, listen, if I can ever help you, I'd love to try and do business with you with either the Van Heusen brand or the Calvin Klein brand. I said, sure, why not? As time would go on, I gave him the most difficult assignments. I had a company going bankrupt. I needed a new partner. I told him, find me a partner. We did, and we put a business together. And that business turned into, believe it or not, $1 billion worth of sales, which he was the commission guy. He brought it into his company. One day, out of the blue, he calls me up and says, I'd like to come up and see you. I said, sure. Comes up to my office, and there he is with some other guy. This guy that we're talking about, Jesse and I, the non-collectible guy. Anyway, he comes up with this guy, and he says to me, Mark, I'm going to incorporate my business with this fellow. He's a great guy. I want you to consider transferring our agreement to him. The right way my back gets up, because I have this one-page agreement with this fellow, whose name shall be protected at the moment. And that agreement simply states if he brings in anything that I've asked him to bring in, that I specifically request, because I can't do this idea within my own house, my own shop. He might have the connections because he collects people, he collects companies. I would pay him nothing, but the company he brings in, if we do business and sign an agreement with them, he would get a commission directly from them. So for me, it was non-threatening. Now he's sitting in front of me asking me to transfer this agreement to somebody I'd never met. Right out of the box, I get introduced to this guy, and he says hello, and then he starts to tell me how I should be running my business. You ought to consider this, you should do this, you could do this, blah, blah, blah. And I really can't stand the guy. I can't stand it. I let him talk for about 30 seconds.
Shocker that you couldn't stand him.
Yeah, I couldn't listen to it. And I finally said, I'm meeting you for the first time. I don't even know you. I don't know why you're here with my friend. I don't know if I want to have anything to do with you. That's why you're sitting here. But we haven't even started and you're telling me how to run my business. What makes you think you know more about the company than I did? I said, listen, with all due respect, let me consider this. I mean, the meeting was over within 10 minutes. I was so pissed that this guy came in and with an attitude, like, who is he? You know, if he was, I don't know. If
Warren
he was
Buffett?
If he was Warren Buffett or Jack Welch.
I've heard of you before. Yeah. I've heard you've done well.
But I don't even know you. I never heard of you before. And you're telling me how to run my company. And you're integrating your deal with my friend here and me. And you're asking me to agree this. You know what? Let me think about it. That's how we met. So I am sure he didn't like me, But my friend came to me afterwards, asked to see me again, said, look, nothing changes. He has a lot of contacts. He knows a lot of people. You're still dealing with me. This is good for me. Would you consider it? I said, well, okay, I'll consider the one-page agreement we have and go on. That's how we began. After that, we did a number of huge, huge deals, and this guy benefited from it. And I would tell you, over the course of time, they made a ton of money being involved with yours truly, Mark Weber. Over the course of time, this wonderful human, this piece of who I really don't like, continued to always talk behind my back. It would never say a good thing about me. Now, I don't care. These businesses I'm handing them. And I assumed the guy really appreciated it. The most ridiculous thing of all, he talked bad about me behind my back to people that I knew. Here's an interesting statement from the movie Ocean's 13 with Al Pacino and George Clooney, dealing with a similar subject.
This town might have changed, but not me. I know people. Highly invested in my survival, and they are people who really know how to hurt in ways you can't even imagine.
Well, I know all the guys that you'd hire to come after me. They like me better than you.
And all these people that he talks to behind my back, I know better than he does. And therefore, I know about it. Jesse, you've run into him before. What kinds of comments have you heard?
So when we had the radio show, and even before the radio show, when you had your book, who's going to read that book?
Who's going to... 100,000 copies.
A radio show? Who's going to listen to that?
We got more listeners. We're on WABC two nights a week, the largest talk radio station in the country, you bozo.
I sometimes wondered if he tried to deny this, and I would say to him, listen, if one person said it, that'd be one thing. But every time your name comes up from people, they each say how you talk bad about my father.
And here's the deal, okay? We're talking about collecting people tonight. This is the concept, and I must admit, there's where I got the term from this guy. He might like to collect people, but he doesn't know how to be people. If you are envious, if you are jealous, if you're not happy, it's no way to live your life. Nobody will really, really will respect you. Nobody will wish you well. And yes, you may have success. And yes, you may make money. That's a lonely way to live. So tonight we're discussing a great topic, collecting people. I look forward to unpacking that with you as we go along. Be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand. Made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion and style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance. The true foundation of timeless wardrobe. Something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Acquitalia's latest collection at Acquitalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Acquitalia, A-Q-U-A-T-A-L-I-A. Wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof. The best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
This is Mark Weber. This is business, and this is Always in Fashion. And we're talking collecting people tonight. If you were here for the first segment, I got out of the way, I got it off my chest. The guy who taught me that collection of people terms, collecting people, really didn't like him, don't like him. He's around, has nothing good to say, and he's not in my collection. But now, talking about collecting people, I want to talk to you about someone else. Great guy that I worked with, Donna Karen. I want to talk to you about a guy. I hope I'm part of his collection as well. This is a story about people we meet, people that really make a contribution. And I have thought about this fellow a lot. As I tell you the story, I hope you'll learn something. It's about leadership, management, talent, and retail. And a person that I met, a good person that I met, who really developed a great position, great rapport with me, and I want to talk about him. This is a fashion story. After all, the show has a lot of fashion in it. So let me tell you about fashion and retail. I don't know about you, but before I came to this radio station, I worked for a company that had five different retail brand formats. I knew nothing about retail stores at that time. How do you know when to open them? How do you get staffed? How do they collect the money and what do they do with it? I always took that stuff for granted. And who would think about it? All those things you take for granted. Hey, they just happen. But now I am managing these stores. Frankly, if I ask you the time, give me the time. I don't want to know how to build a watch, but when you're in business and you're overseeing this many stores, you really need to know how they work. I can't tell you in my career how many times I had to go in and drill down deep to learn things. But when you see your favorite store, there's someone managing all those operational things you don't even think about or you don't even realize are going on. I knew so much about retail from my days at PVH, Phillips Van Heusen, and I did know about what they call the field. Those are the people that go out in the stores all around the country and make things happen. When you open up, when you close, how you dress, how you behave, what's the rule for treating customers, what do you do with the markdowns when you have to take them, what do you do with returns, how do you make sure there's no theft, and how do you make sure you make money? Those people run what is called the field. When I came to LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Moet Hennessy, I was responsible, amongst other things, for the Donna Karan and DKNY brand. And I meet a fella named Brad Wolfer. Great guy. Great guy. He was in charge of the field. He was in charge of making sure that our stores ran well. You want to talk about collecting people? He's one of the people on my collection list. I hope I'm on his. He was a great guy. So let me tell you what I learned. We had a huge opportunity for retail at DKNY. And while Donna Karan had some stores, DKNY was wide open to have hundreds of stores. And I had to take it seriously. And I looked for the best way to run the company. When I looked around, I looked at all the people there, and I felt we needed a president. And I brought someone in that I work with from PVH, who had a very successful track record and had a very good, successful track record with me. He was in my collection of people that I thought a lot of. Brought him in, talked to him about the opportunity, he decided to join us. Now, the only problem I had at the time was I was bringing someone in from the outside. I don't know about the rest of you out there. Those of you in management know how complicated it is bringing people in from the outside. You have staff, you have people that think they should be in ready and take over these jobs. But I knew what I needed, and I knew I needed this guy. And I decided to bring him in. When I did, it created a ruckus. When I did, after a short period of time, everybody realized this guy was the real deal. He was a math wizard. He understood all the gyrations of math associated with retail stores. I take you back to this fellow, Brad Wolfer, who was running the field for us. Great guy. I really liked him. And in my short time there, I enjoyed my association with him. But when I brought in this fellow, he asked to see me. And he asked to see me outside the office because he wanted to talk to me. So Brad and I met one evening, and he told me he was disappointed in my decision to bring in this other fellow. He felt that he should have been made the president of the company, and that he wanted me to know that this did not make him happy. Now, when someone in a company comes to you, whether you're the president or CEO, or for that matter, anybody who's in a supervisory position, and they tell you they're not happy, the first thing that you have to think about is you might lose this person. They might decide to leave the company. In the case of Brad, I did not want to lose him. Not only didn't I want him to leave, I thought it was wrong for him to leave. And we started to talk, and I told him how I thought he was a great guy, how I thought what he was doing was invaluable, but at the same time, he had a lot to learn. That while his experience was many, and that he worked for other companies, and he proved to me that he was a keeper and part of my collection at the time, I did my best to tell him that you are right. You could be big. You could be bigger than you are, but not now. And that if you work with me and trust me, this guy I'm bringing in, you're going to learn a lot from. You're going to see in a relatively short period of time why he's here. And if you're smart, you'll stay the course. And if you're even really smart, you'll learn a lot from him about planning, about finance, and about merchandising and operation, which you really haven't spent time doing. And over the course of that conversation, we went back and forth, and Brad told me he was going to give it a try. Now, I want to fast forward. As the president or CEO of the company, I was very hands-on. I traveled to many, many of our retail stores. I remember I went to one in Houston. I would go to all of them in California, of course. Why wouldn't I? Florida. Somehow or another, it seemed that I went to all the warm weather places during the winter.
You're like, I think we should open up a store in Cannes in the south of France.
Yeah, Hawaii.
They're missing something.
Anyway, back to this. Brad and I, we talked. We knew the business cold. So before I would leave on a trip, I would tell him where I was going. He'd explain the store to me. He would tell me who the store manager is. He would tell me who the first key is and the second key. Do you know what that is?
No. It sounds like a treasure hunt.
No, it's not. Do you know what that is? It is the person that if the manager doesn't show up, they're the ones who open the store. There's
Hierarchy?
A hierarchy. Thank you, Jesse. A hierarchy for who opens the store in case of emergency or whatever. They're called keys. First key, second key, third key. Anyway, he would tell me who they were. He would tell me where the store was, how it was located, how the store was physically set up, whether it was the best case scenario for store within the mall, it was in a good location, The actual physical plant of the store, was it laid out well? He would tell me what he thought were the best businesses in the store, where we thought we can improve. He would get me all ready to go, and we would talk about it. And then what I would do is I'd get to the store. I would walk around, do my first walkthrough, meet the people, say hello, make sure I was carrying the corporate banner, the smiles and the morale. And I'd walk through the store, get them on my iPhone. I would get them up and call them. And I'd walk through section by section. I would show him pictures of what I saw, what I thought could be improved, what I thought was excellent. If there was something that I thought could be rolled out to all the different stores, I would tell him, you know, these sweaters are sitting off in the corner. They're gorgeous. I think women would love them. I think they should be in the center aisle. By the way, the center aisle in any store you go into is a power alley, they call it. That's where you do your big businesses and your core items. And I wanted to make sure those were always great. The men's dress shirts were laid out well in Great Wall. We were doing amazing suits and suit separates in men's. But anyway, I'm back to Brad, and he and I built this wonderful working relationship. Now, over the course of my tenure there, I saw him grow. I saw him get better. I saw him learn, and I was thrilled that he gained more and more responsibility because he was one of those people that you want to collect in your arsenal, people that you could trust, rely on, go to whenever you need anything, and people in general who are smart that you like. And I really, really enjoyed my time with him. At the end of my tenure at Donna Karan, at the end of my tenure of Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy, I had enough. I've been back and forth to Europe so many times. I decided I wanted to change. As you know by now, I wrote a book, the second book in my arsenal, Always in Fashion. Went on a book tour, did book signings wherever I needed to go. My last book signing, actually, at the company, was the last day at the company. It was done on the DKNY store on 60th and Madison. 500 people came to that book signing. I signed every single one of those books, not just with my signature, but with a personal message from the people I knew, or with a personal message that I would glean from asking them who they are or what they did. And I took 3.5 hours to do it. I always felt that that was important. Of course, Brad showed up. I signed him his book. Maybe he'll come on one day and read you the inscription. But here's the point. I ended up leaving the company after my book tour. I also left LVMH with a gift. I felt that I did everything I could with DKNY. And while I thought it could be an amazing business for LVMH going forward, I also thought that maybe they should consider selling the company to someone else. And I will tell you, it took me 2 years, I guess, to get the right to say it. I was instrumental in selling the Donna Karan company to a company called G3, which was one of the largest women's wear companies in the world and certainly perhaps the largest in the United States. And I left, and Brad continued on. About 6 months later, I got an email from Brad. Hey, Mark, I'm listening to your radio show. I really, really enjoy it. Look forward to listening to it every weekend. How about getting together? I'd love to have a drink with you. And I noticed on the bottom, the signature page, the signature part of him, the email. It said, Brad Wolfer, President, Donna Karan Retail. Congratulations, Brad. You're a great guy. I loved having you part of my collection. I hope I'm still part of yours. And with that, we're collecting people tonight. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in Fashion.
This is Mark Webber. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserve to feel comfortable in their shoes, and developed shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes? You want to be safe in your shoes, but more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at taryrose.com. Taryn Rose. the luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is Business. This is Always in Fashion. And tonight we're discussing collecting people. It's a concept I heard along the way. I like it. Really is the heart of it is people that you meet along the way that you decide to keep as part of your arsenal of people that you trust, count on, look forward to meeting, talking to, helping you along the way. And hopefully, if you're doing your job properly, they'll collect you as well. They'll think of you as someone who's valuable. I like this concept of collecting people. I've met so many people. I meet lots of people. And you have to understand who they are. You have to put them together in business. It's really important if you think about it, taking this concept further. I've said it many times on the show, and if you haven't heard me say it, people make you successful. And of course, this show is success is always in fashion. In order to be successful, people teach you. There's no two ways about it. The people you hire to compliment you, I want to talk about collecting people. You're in a company, you need to manage, you need to run a company, you always need to hire people. Now, I've been in big roles for a very long time, hired so many people, sometimes had to let them go. Very rare that I would do that, not in my position. But nonetheless, I had to be involved in hiring and building teams. I got good at it. I spent a lot of time in it. But I got to tell you something. I hate hiring people. I don't mean I dislike it. I mean I hate it because the responsibility is just something I never wanted. You're playing with people's lives. And that's a pressure that I never relished. But it's a responsibility that I took very seriously. If I was to hire you and you were out of work and I interviewed you, the pressure is somewhat less. This person's not working, guy or gal, they don't have a job, you're going to give them a job. But if you don't do your due diligence properly, if you don't really analyze and study and ask the right questions in an interview, you hire them, you give them relief, now they have a job. But 2 weeks later, or a month later, a year later, not a year, 2 weeks later, or a month later, 3 months later, you have to let them go. You wasted their time. That's time that they could have been spending looking for the right job. So even though they were out of work, it's a responsibility. The most pressure exists when you take someone out of a company who's doing well. They're in another company. You hear about them or a recruiter gives you the name. You get them in. They're doing well. And you hire them. And for one reason or another, you didn't vet them properly. You didn't help them understand what the company was. They didn't understand what you would expect of them. Or maybe they weren't as forthright or honest as they should have been. They come in, you took them out of a great job, and you know, in a relatively short period of time, they don't have a job. That's terrible. And the pressure to do this well, to interview people well, to collect people in your company, because tonight we're talking about collecting people, is a burden. Is a responsibility, is something that you need to do and do it well. I was always forced to hire, interview lots of people in a responsibility I didn't want, but one that I took very seriously. I want to tell you how I would interview people. And then I got a surprise for you, Jesse.
Should I be nervous?
Yeah, because after I explain in detail how I interview people, I'm going to interview you for the role of co-host on this show.
But I already got the job.
Maybe. You know,
okay.
I want to share with you how it would work.
I can handle it.
Let's see how you would do, okay? Here's how I would conduct an interview. If, in my position, someone came to see me, you have to recognize at least for the last 20 years, they had to go through a lot of people to get to see me. I had big titles. You know, I'm a president, a CEO. If you're getting to see me, you're in an important job. And people already have validated you as legitimate candidates for this job. But nonetheless, if I'm seeing you, the end result is going to rely on me. If I said to whoever else, a manager, a division president, a sales executive, you know, I'm not sure this person's right, even though they may love them, they'd have second thoughts of hiring them. So I'm playing with people's lives. So my interviews were very serious, and here's how they would go. First thing I would do is talk about myself. I'm Mark Weber. I'm the CEO of this company. Let me tell you what I do. I haven't always had it well, but I've always worked very hard. I'm very serious about the company. I'm very serious about the people we bring in. My number one priority has always been the product. There's no substitute for good taste. I care about the products this company puts forward. I care about these products as much as Steve Jobs would care about his iPhone. He built a box on Fifth Avenue, all in glass, so people would know that store. Well, I'm building brands that I want people to know. I want my brands to be bigger than life, and I look for people who understand that. I also care about communication and the way we communicate what we want to about these brands, how we advertise, what our messages are, what do we look like on social media. All of that matters to me. And then I care about business, because we do all this work to make money, and there's only one reason you're in a company: to make money. No other reason. And I'm looking for people who understand that that's what I'm about. And as you get to know me, if you join the company, it's not my decision. It'll be someone else's, but they wanted me to meet you. Those are the things that I have in my mind as I start to talk to you. In the end, that's what our conversation is going to be about. Now, let me tell you about the company. This is a great company. It's part of a big conglomerate. In the case of LVMH, we belong to the French company. They bought this company not too long ago. I'm here representing them. Great company. There's 100,000 employees all over the world. We care about diversity. We care about making sure that you have a fair chance. President Obama once said that he's setting up the government to make sure everyone gets a fair shot. Well, this company's like that. It's a great company. A lot of money behind it. Very professional. Everyone's smart. Everyone wants to do the right thing. So if you join this company, whatever you're going to do, even if you're starting as a clerk, let alone the position you're interviewing with me for, this is a great place for you to be. After that, I explained me, I explained the company, I asked them, do you have any questions for me? Now, believe it or not, I judge people by the questions they ask. And I'm not going to get into it now, but if somebody would say to me, so what does your company actually make? They're gone. I expect them to do some work in advance. I mean, if they're coming into a company that there's a brand, I expect them to go on the internet. I expect them to visit my stores. I expect them to know a lot about the company. After that, I'll go back and forth, ask them about what they know, why they think they deserve to be in this company, what are their skill sets, what do they think they can contribute. And that would last the longest part of the interview, other than me talking about myself, which I could do all day. But I would like to make sure they understand what we want to achieve in the company. And that's how the interview goes. Now, my style is to tell the person at the end of the interview how they did, whether they did well or they did poorly. My interviews, they're going to know where they stood at the end. You know what? I interviewed a woman one day, this is a true story, to be president of one of our divisions. And I said to her, have you been to our stores on Madison Avenue in Soho? No. I started to laugh. I said, you're sitting in front of the president of this company or the CEO of this company, and I have stores all out throughout the city, and you didn't go into one, and you want to interview with me for an important job like a president? I said, I'm going to do you a favor because I liked you up until this point. You go visit our stores, and after you feel that you have something to contribute about what they stand for, what they look like, call my assistant and we'll have another interview. Because I'm not hiring you right now.
it tells you what she would be like if you did hire her.
And certainly wasn't thorough, but certainly wasn't smart. And she could have been the greatest person in the world, but I'm not hiring her after not doing research. But I will tell you, if you did a good job, I say that. I would tell you, you know, I listened. I don't think you have enough experience in the selling side, or I'm looking for someone international and you're just not the right person. But that's what I would do. I think someone who has the burden of finding a job at the end of that interview deserves an honest, solid answer to how they did. I don't believe I'm pushing it off on someone else. And that's how I interview. That's what a real interview is like for someone who realizes how important it is to treat people fairly because you're playing with their lives. Now you know how I interview people. What I want to do next, when we come back, I want to interview Jesse to see whether or not he should be on this show. Stay tuned. You're going to get a kick out of that one.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. And this is Always in Fashion. There is a brand called DKNY. It's downtown New York. I am familiar with it. I spent 9 years there as the CEO. If there's one thing I know about that brand, it's fashion and quality at the highest level. The products are sensational. The styling is great. You know, fashion comes and goes, but your style is forever. Having a collection of clothes that is right, that'll make you look correct at all times, is so important. It's so important to the way you look. And it's very helpful when there's a collection that is on point. It's modern. It's contemporary. It tells the world that you know what you're doing. DKNY suits are navies, blacks, grays, charcoals. They're sensational. The shirts are whites and blues and beautiful patterns. The neckwear is very, very simple but very elegant. Right up my alley. I love those looks. And what they do for spring is they put in some shots of great color. It's simplistic but so practical. Pops of electric colors, sherbet, orange, watermelon, and lime. Just the right tone of soft colors to make those fashion products and those basic colors look outstanding. DKNY outerwear also is something to marvel at. You have the right piece of outerwear, it makes a statement. Simple, elegant, contemporary, and right, but it tells a story. And DKNY outerwear is amazing. The fall stuff was great. Now the follow-up for spring really, really looks sensational. You can find DKNY at Macy's or online. Go find it. I'm telling you, this is my recommendation. As I said, 9 years working there, I know how good it is.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
There are places I remember all my life. Though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moments. With lovers and friends, I still can recall. Some are dead and some are living.
This is Mark Weber. Tonight we're collecting people. We're talking about people that mean and gave something to you in your career. You collect them, and hopefully they're collecting you because you have something to contribute to their lives, particularly in business. Just before, I talked about how important it was to interview people, how seriously I take it, how important it is because you're playing with people's lives. People and work, people and their livelihoods, think about how important that is in their life. And therefore, there comes an important responsibility that you treat them fairly and you make sure that they're right for the company you're hiring them for. Having said that, Jesse, now, for those of you tuning in tonight, is called Collecting People. That's what we're talking about, collecting people. One of the people I collected on this radio show is my son, Jesse Weber. Now I want to interview you, Jesse.
For co-host of the show?
Yes.
Well,
I want to see if you can get the job.
If I do a bad job, are you going to fire me?
Well, let's not get there yet. Why are you talking about the negative? Why won't you do a good job?
All right, let's start from a clean slate.
Okay. You ready?
Let's do it.
Let me tell you how I do an interview, Jesse. I'll tell you about me. I'll tell you about the company. I will ask you if you have any questions. Then we'll talk about the job, and then we'll summarize. Okay. You up for that?
Let's do it.
Okay, my name is Mark Weber. I've been an executive for a very long time. I decided at one point I no longer wanted to be an executive. I wanted to be on the radio and start a radio show. Preparing me for this was two CEO roles. I've written two books, published my McGraw-Hill. I've done a whole lot of work listening to talk radio, and I always felt I'm a storyteller and I could be on the radio. And hopefully the audience has decided to be interesting. We're now on three times a week, so I guess we're doing something right. We got big sponsors supporting the show. That's me, and I did it. I'm very proud, and I take the responsibility for radio and being on the air seriously. As far as the company is concerned, we're part of Cumulus, multi-billion-dollar media network. We're on WABC in New York, the largest talk radio station in the country. We're also on 103.9 FM, the urban station in New York, which we love as well, hopefully teaching people how to be successful. Because the theme of this show, there's many of them, I love quotes, is success is always in fashion. So why not teach it? My background's in fashion, and that's who we are. Any questions, Jesse, about what I'm doing in the show?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to meet you. I've knew a lot about this already because I looked up everything about the radio show, and I read your book. I read your book, and I really loved your book.
Really? Thank you.
I thought it was a really interesting recap about how somebody can come from where you started to where you are now. And I like how you always separate your life into chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. I'm excited to see what chapter four will be like.
Have you listened to the radio show?
I have listened to the radio show. Great co-host you have on there. No, I have listened to the radio. I have listened to the radio show. I have seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've seen a progression from when you first started to now. The show has really evolved.
How so?
Well, first of all, do you know that you have a radio voice?
I meet people now all the time who tell me I have a radio voice. For 40 years, I'm 55 years old. Nobody ever said you have a radio voice until I'm on the radio.
Well, I'm glad that you discovered it. But your voice has changed. Your rhythm has changed. Just you feel much more comfortable on the air. But I love the topics. I've noticed that the later shows, you take one word, one subject, and you go with it.
Did you listen to the show, I Don't Mind Spending Money, But I Hate Wasting It?
It's one of my favorite ones from last year.
I think I'm going to hire this guy. Okay, good. Do you have another one that you like?
You did a trilogy, which is unique. You did breakfast, lunch, and dinner. By the way, who would ever think of that? And I like that concept about the show. Everybody out there is talking about politics, and it's all the same stuff. You talked about breakfast meetings, lunch meetings, and dinner meetings. It was an interesting trilogy.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. So you have any other questions I'm asking?
I do have one question for you.
Sure.
You started off in business and now you're in a radio career. What's the biggest thing that surprised you about the radio industry? Maybe something that you assumed and you were wrong when you jumped into it.
How hard it is to get nationally recognized.
You didn't think that beforehand.
Why should it be that hard? Every show that I have listened to of consequence were syndicated radio shows. I found that they were interesting. People had stories to tell, people to learn from. Now, I must admit that most of the syndicated shows are political shows. A lifestyle show like ours seems to be more complicated to get syndicated. I want to talk to everyone around the country. That's my goal. If I get there, great. If not, I did reach my goal at two other big companies, CEO of two big companies. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. And yes, now I want to be syndicated. And if I hire you, it's going to be because I believe you can help me get syndicated. All right, let's move on. Now it's time to learn about you.
Sure.
You're a lawyer by trade?
Yes. So first of all, it's great to meet you. Yes.
You said that before. Don't bore me.
Okay. Yes.
You're not going to get this job by sucking up to me. So let's get that straight. Sure. Now we're in the part that I want to learn about you and I don't want to suck up.
Okay. So, I'm an attorney. I went to New York Law School. After I graduated cum laude.
All the other law schools in the country were closed?
To be honest, here's the trick. It doesn't matter where you go to law school. You look at the exact same thing. You study the same thing. In every single law school in New York, everybody has to take the same bar exam.
Great answer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just let me go through the fourth wall here. Somebody sitting in front of me and answers a question like that, I'm going to be impressed. All right, back to you.
So after I graduated law school,
Where'd you go to college?
I went to University of Michigan.
How was that?
Unbelievable.
I mean, you had fun.
No, I learned, first of all, college is an amazing experience. It's the first time you live away from your family, and I went to a different state. I didn't have the opportunity to go home every weekend, so I was by myself. That's a learning process in itself. But to go to University of Michigan, which is an unbelievable school with all the different activities, the sports programs, and the amazing curriculum.
How crazy is it, those football games, 107 or 111,000 people under one roof?
You're not going to believe this. They added more seats.
Wow.
So now I think there's 117,000 people that could be in one.
And you went to those?
I went to every one.
Did you get drunk?
I don't drink.
What do you mean you don't drink?
I don't drink. I know it's a little different. I don't drink. I've never drank. I never liked it. Never was for me. And ironically, I was social chair of my fraternity, so I organized all the events, but I never drank once.
I see.
Just not for me.
I see. So you were a lawyer. How long did you practice?
So I practiced for 2.5 years. I worked for a large law firm called Denton's. Actually, they're the largest law firm in the world right now. And I did intellectual property and litigation. I worked on all different kinds of matters. I worked for different groups. In fact, when I joined, let me step back for a second. I joined a law firm called Salins. And at the time I joined, they said, look, we're merging with two other firms. It's going to be a gigantic merger. I don't know what's going to happen to your job. But I had just came out of law school. It was a really tough market. And I needed to start. So I said, okay.
And you made it through the mergers?
And not only did I make it through the mergers, unfortunately, while other people might have been let go because of the mergers, I created value by making myself available to every department. So during the merger, I was working a lot.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you a legal question.
Sure.
Let's see how you are. Were you a good lawyer?
I like to think so.
Yeah. Now you like being on TV and the radio, I see.
I do.
All right. I don't want to go there. I like it too. You have a good face. The camera likes you. I did my homework on you.
Thank
I looked you.
You
up. I saw you. You were on ET the other night.
I was on ET.
Yeah, man, did you look good. You actually sounded smart, too. That's
you.
More important to me on the radio because no one could see you. I have a question for
sure.
You. I started this show talking about some guy who I really don't like, and I took him over the coals and said what a dirtbag he is, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If I would have announced him by name, do I have any legal issues to contend with if I used this segment and used his name?
Everything you said about him, was it true?
From my perspective, it is. Does it make it true?
Well, that's important, because if he were to sue for something like defamation, saying what you said is
wrong. What is defamation?
Defamation is a statement, a false statement, that's basically used to hurt someone's reputation. And that would be the second thing. You say something to him, he would have to show that you make this comment about him? Did he lose any business? Was his feelings hurt? Because people have...
Well, if I say, let's go back for a second. If I say to him he's a dirtbag and he's untrustworthy mm-hmm. and talks behind people's back, is that defamation?
No. Because people... Think about it like this. This is the best way to explain it. If everybody could sue somebody for bad things that they said about them, the courts would be flooded and flooded and flooded with litigation. Defamation is extremely hard to prove.
I'm on the radio. I'm doing it live. You and I are on the radio. We're doing dirt on this guy.
Yeah, that's true. It's a different situation.
So I shouldn't worry about it.
I wouldn't worry about it.
So I'm going to mention his name right now, and I'm going to remember you told me not to worry.
I'm not giving you any legal advice because I'm not your attorney, and I would probably say you should go to somebody who specializes in this. But
if I hire you for this show, one of the reasons is you're an attorney, and I want to make sure that you're going to be able to help me from a legal perspective.
I'll tell you what. I'll think about the issue, and then I'll get a second opinion from somebody who's an expert in it.
Then why not hire that person?
Because you're not going to find an attorney who's an expert in every single field.
Okay. I'm liking this guy out there listening. All right, I got another question for you.
Sure.
I'll reverse it a bit. A little early, I also spoke about a guy that I work with that I like very much. I only had good things to say about him, and I mentioned him by name. Do I need to be concerned about that?
Why would you be?
I don't know. I'm asking you. You're the lawyer.
No. You say something good about somebody, I think you're fine.
Okay. I see. What do you think you have to add to this radio station?
Well, I think you're doing a really good job by yourself, but I think I could add some different dynamics. First of all, having a co-host adds...
I want to interrupt you. By the way, that's a technique I use in an interview. I interrupt people all the time to see if they get rattled by that. I want to change the subject on you.
Okay.
I have a brand internationally. I make products all over the world. I have a dress with a certain pattern on it. I found somebody copy it. Can I sue them for copying my work?
Yeah, those designs are copyrighted.
Who said?
That's copyright law.
I didn't copyright them.
Doesn't matter. Once you create something, it's automatically copyrighted. You don't need to register a copyright. Now, I should warn you, though. Designs...
All right, enough. I want to go back to this. Why do you want this job?
I want this job because I'm really interested in the radio industry. I love your product. I want to make it even bigger than it is. And I really think you and I would have a terrific dynamic on the air.
What are you concerned about with your experience level coming on the radio with me?
I don't know a ton about radio. I didn't come from radio. But I do know that anything I don't know, I'll learn. And I want you to be aware of that. I am a lawyer. and I know how to study, and I know how to find the answers. So if we have a question, if there's a problem, I'll make sure to get it.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I am very impressed with what you had to say. I think you handled yourself under the gun. I think I changed it up on you a number of times, and I thought you navigated very well. I like you very much. I'm not going to say I'm going to hire you right now because I still have to go through a bunch of candidates. But I want you to leave this interview knowing that you did exceptionally well.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you and talking with you.
Now that's how you conduct an interview, and boy, oh boy, that's how you answer the questions. Collecting people. People that do that, I'm ready to collect them and have them join my company. Be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand. Made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance. The true foundation of timeless wardrobe. Something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Acquitalia's latest collection at Acquitalia.com. Or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan, Acquitalia, Acquitalia, wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof, the best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is business. This is Always in Fashion. And tonight I'm talking about collecting people. People you meet all along the way that you're impressed with, that you like, you trust, you can go to them for whatever. They're part of your collection of people that you admire and that you want to have with you through the course of life and your business career. There are some along the way that aren't worth collecting. You find them, you get rid of them. But generally speaking, you know great ones when you meet them. You know good ones. And I like talking about collecting people tonight. I also talk tonight about hiring people. And I have to make a comment about the political situation right now in Washington. Hiring people is an awesome responsibility. It's a burden. It's something that you have to do very, very carefully. And while I admire how difficult it is to get things done in Washington, and while I must admit I am incredibly impressed with the agenda that President Trump is trying to put forth, I'm not talking necessarily about the decisions. That's not for me to make, about the wall, about so many of the things he's decided to tackle, but I am impressed that he's taking on all those things he said he would do in his campaign, and that's impressive. But on a night we're talking collecting people, I can't help but say how strange and disappointing it is to see the turnover in the cabinet. After all, hiring people is incredibly important. You have a responsibility for a person that you hire. It's your responsibility to vet them. to make sure you know who they are, what they can do, what they can contribute, whether they're right for the job. And I am disappointed to see the degree and the number of people that can't seem to make it in the president's cabinet. So with that in mind, I would say only the following. The president picked these people, and they're not lasting the test of time. And yes, the president can fire at will, and he should. But he also had a responsibility to make sure they were right for the job, as you do out there in business. Anytime you hire someone, you're responsible for them. I'd like you to remember that on a night we talk about collecting people. With that in mind, this is Mark Weber with Jesse Weber, reminding you that success is always in fashion.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. See you next week.